Good morning. Our devotional reading today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 15. And it's a popular passage that we're familiar with. You know, there's songs about it even. But I'm going to be focusing on the latter half, or one verse in particular towards the end. But let's read together. There is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that man should fear him. That which is has been already, and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. Amen. I first sort of heard this phrase, or explored this phrase, you know, that God has set eternity in our hearts. It was several years back. I was leading a Bible study for college students here at SP, you know, in my second year here. And the book that I was going through was Seven Searching Questions, and it's a book by Nicky Gumbel. And basically, you know, through the course of his very, you know, popular Alpha course that he had started, which was very much geared for new believers coming and experiencing the fellowship, and then, you know, after a certain period of time, coming to faith. And basically what he did was he collected, you know, the seven top questions that non-believers had, you know, the seven sort of barriers that non-believers had in coming to faith. And this was one of them. You know, amongst many of them, one of them was like, you know, if God is such a, you know, God of love and so great, you know, and so all-powerful, why does he allow suffering? You know, another topic or issue was the idea of science and religion. And so, you know, he hits these topics. Another one was, you know, sex before marriage. You know, these are all really, you know, questions that people consider, you know, that kind of that last straw or barrier before they make that step to faith. And one of the questions was, of the seven, I can't remember all seven, but the one in particular was, you know, is Christianity really the only way? You know, people having experienced or encountered other religions, and, you know, maybe in some sense even had encountered power in some form, obviously distorted or demonic. And so the question is, you know, is there other religions that lead to God? And so Nicky Gumbel, the seven questions, he hits this one. And the verse and the reference that he makes is that, and he's making this argument, used to be a lawyer. So he's very articulate and very systematic, and he breaks down. And so he quotes a few passages, and one of them is that, well, one, God has created us, man, in his image. And then two, based on this passage, Ecclesiastes, you know, chapter 3, in verse 11, that God has set eternity in our hearts, that God has made us, our nature is to seek after eternity. Our nature is to seek beyond just the physical or the, you know, the lifetime parameter. And so he makes this argument that it's by nature that man, that woman, that we seek after God. And so it's no wonder that there are all these different religions. You know, there's something in us, you know, whether it's, you know, Buddhism or Confucianism or any religions in the world, that something innate, at some point, somewhere, the origin of man in history is longing for God. And unfortunately, for all these other paths, that they were the wrong path, that they were something that's You know, he would say that some religions are close to, you know, nearer to the truth of God, but that all fall short. But that's a fascinating statement, that some religions are nearer, that in some ways they kind of have it together, that some of the attractions or the teachings are almost there, whether it's peace or love or giving, but all of them fall short outside of Christ Jesus. And so his point is that, you know, that we're, you know, by nature, we're wanting to be there and we experience and whatnot. And then he obviously breaks down the Bible and scriptures and that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And so this is that one, you know, sort of teaching that he has. And you know, last week, I went to Beijing to visit our orphans. And on the way back, I was watching this documentary. And it was you know, I don't watch many CNN documentaries or was it National Geographic. But this one was fascinating. And basically, you know, for about 40 minutes, I was watching this. I missed the first half, so I might get all the terms wrong. But in essence, it was talking about the Earth's magnetic field, okay? And basically, you know, you wonder, you know, when you take a shower and the water, when you drain it, it always swirls a certain direction, right? Well, why not the other way? you know, you consider the tide, right? You know, when I was watching this, you realize how much effect the Earth's magnetic field. And I don't know the details or the terms, but basically it's generated from the core of the Earth, right? So if you're watching the show, you'll see the planet, and then you'll see the core of the Earth, and something to do, scientific terms, it generates the Earth magnetic field. And basically what it looks like, if this is the planet Earth, in your palm like this, then there are these two rings that generate, one direction and the other. And so they're the polar, the north and the south. And to the effect that even the moon is drawn or kept in orbit by the Earth's magnetic field, and to the effect that depending on where the position of the moon, you know, to the Earth and the rotation, it affects the tides. So on a daily basis, the Earth's magnetic field affects daily living. And so as I was watching this, and I'm just kind of taking it in, you know, it started to build my theology on animals, right? So I didn't realize this, and I know, you know, as a kid, you wonder, like, man, how do bats know where they're going, right? And so scientists have found that, yes, you know, and we're all familiar with this, that sonar, right, they use sound to bounce off objects and whatnot, and based on that. But what was amazing, and they would show these tests, is that also, that in fact, the Earth's magnetic field, that there's these currents. And so the bats are able to track and trace just in their nature. It's just a mechanism that's in them that follows these fields. And so, you know, to another extension of that, you know, you consider things like, you know, animals like whales and elephants, right? Man, these guys never went to school. You know, they don't know how to work a map. Yet how is it that they're able to track great distances, like halfway around the world, right? And so it's quite fascinating. You know, like, you know, they say, you know, obviously our brains are larger than even, you know, the whales or elephants or whatnot. You know, elephants have small brains. But still, there's something in them, a mechanism, something in their creation that leads them. And basically scientists are saying that it's based on the magnetic field of the Earth. There's something in them, that a mechanism that they're able to track and follow, you know, these you know, pathways and whatnot. And so I thought, you know, just contemplating, I was like, man, you know, how come we don't have that? Right? I get lost all the time, man. I hate it. I get lost. So, like, some of my friends are so good at directions, and, you know, like, you just have some friends who, like, they know which direction to go. You spin them around, you blindfold them, and then you tell them which, and then they're, oh, yeah, we got to go this way. I get lost all the time in downtown Los Angeles. You don't know how many times I've cursed, like, out loud, like, you know, the big words, right, because I got lost again. Like, I should know this highway and whatnot. And so it started to develop sort of my theology on animals, right, to the point that, you know, do animals go to heaven and whatnot, people have thought. And, you know, I don't want to be mean, but, there's nothing in scriptures that points to that, you know, that animals have, do they have a spirit, do they have a soul, and not to be cold-hearted or anything, but they're just animals, right? And yeah, there are animals in heaven, but it's not necessarily the animal you owned and took care of and raised when we were children. And so, all to say, at the end of all this thinking and processing, I realized, man, we don't have this, you know, GPS system in us where we're guided by the Earth's magnetic field, And what differentiates us from the other creations that God has made, you know, as Nikki Gumbel would point out, that one, that we've been made in God's image. Two, that He has set eternity in our hearts. And when I realize that, man, what we do have is we have this sort of internal spiritual GPS, right? That no matter what we do in this lifetime, that we're constantly seeking after God's presence. So consider a person that's never heard of God. Consider a person in a remote island or some place in the world that the gospel is yet to reach. That person has this, you know, GPS system that's longing and seeking after God. And until he finds or reaches that truth, this person, this man, this woman will constantly be searching and seeking and will constantly be filling and trying to, you know, complete that void that God has set eternity in our hearts, that we've been made in his image, until that message is made known to him that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God loves you and that God created you. It's like an elephant or a whale, you know, kind of like living in one part of the world or ocean and kind of like cutting off his GPS system, the purpose for which it was made to go out and then to, you know, to the breeding grounds or whatnot and to reproduce and come back. It's like that purpose in its life has been X, and it's just wandering out, you know, in circles and circles, right? Even as Christians, we come into the church, and even with that revelation, still at times we're wanting to fill ourselves. And so this is, you know, just a reminder to me and really the charge for us today as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. It's the litmus test. It's the red flag. Whenever I'm in a week or a month or a season where I'm trying desperately to fill myself with something, and it comes, you know, pastors, you know, guru, whatever, it comes, you know, whether a certain status, whether a certain, you know, position or place or a material object. Or, you know, like sometimes I get into this mode, like I got to get out into the woods, right? I love the outdoors, and Hong Kong has wonderful outdoors, but I hate the weather, so I never go out, right? You know, so I always have this, like, you know, this mode in and out, you know, season after season where I feel like I got to go out, I got to go out, I got to fill myself with the outdoors. And you know, or I got to fill myself with a relationship, you know, or I got to, you know, watch movies because I'm not getting enough excitement. Or, you know, there's always something, right? There's always something that in a mode or season in your life that really clings to you, and then really you just take it in and really, to me, that's just a red flag or an indication that for a season or for a reason that God isn't enough for me, right? And Pastor Eugene, when he came, he did a wonderful job of breaking down the passage at the woman in the well. And, you know, I've heard so many preachers teach on that, and even, you know, I preached on it, and, you know, everyone's preached on it. But the core point that I'd never heard that he really spoke upon was that this woman, when Jesus was, you know, approaching her and you know, basically speaking a word of knowledge into her life and saying, sure, you haven't had, you know, husbands in your life. You know, in fact, you haven't had one, you have five. And so, you know, what's the point of Jesus asking this? And the point of Jesus bringing this up, I mean, the woman had already said, yes, I want this living water. And then Jesus should be, well, okay, well, here's what you do, step one, step two, step three. But Pastor Eugene pointed out the reason why he brought that up is because he wanted to for her to identify and recognize, look, you've been seeking after me, you didn't even know it, and in place of it, because you couldn't find me, you've been filling your heart with something else, with man after man after man after man, and it's insufficient. It's not enough. And so just this idea that only Christ can fill that. And so let's bow our heads this morning. Very simple devotional. And I just really want us to meditate on this idea, right, that God has said it. It's in our nature that he's made us this way. He created us with the intent of fellowship with him. And yes, sin has entered into this world. And yes, it has broken this relationship. But Christ has reconciled it. And so really our charge and our call this morning is to sort of recalibrate and just let the Holy Spirit, you know, identify areas in our life, right? You know, we're on this journey together, and some seasons we're strong, you know, we're on top of it. And some seasons we, you know, kind of let our guards down. And it's really it should really speak to us, you know, especially if we're, you know, particularly driving after something very hard. Right? Think about that. It could be anything for any one of you. But that thing that's really occupied, and it could be a very good thing, or it could be a bad thing. Right? You know, something that God is saying, no, hey, you know, put on the brakes. But it could be a good thing. It could be something that God does want, or that God wants to bless you in. But no matter how good it is, or how much God may bless you in it, it does not replace your desire and your heart to be filled by Him. Right? That's our natural, you know, sort of GPS system, right? When that relationship is in place, man, we know where to turn left, we know where to turn right. You know, we go into a dark cave, step by step the Lord directs us, because He's in us, that GPS system, right? But man, when that relationship, right, is out of sync, is whacked, right? They did this kind of a thing on a bat, and they put him through this little machine that would, you know, depolarize or disable the bat's ability to follow the Earth's magnetic field, and they just for 30 minutes, and then they let him loose. And you know, 100 times before, when the scientist did this test, the bat would go out. You know, he'd let him loose, and then he'd go, you know, he'd drive out, let's say north, like, you know, 30 miles, and then he would let the bat go, and then he'd come home. By the time he come home, the bat was already home, because it knew exactly where to go. But when they put him in this machine that kind of, you know, took away his ability to sense the you know, Earth magnetic field, and then set him out, and right off the bat, they let the bat go, and the bat went north. It went the wrong direction. And then after a time, you know, after it kind of got its senses back, then it found its bearings and it came back. And I think some of us, you know, maybe not to a great degree, maybe to a great degree, but maybe we need some recalibration. You know, maybe we've kind of taken a few steps or in the wrong direction. You know, isn't it amazing to think that, man, we could go into the darkest of the darkest valley without any sight or vision or props or you know, sticks or, you know, technology to help, but God's Spirit can lead us, I mean, to the dime, right? Stop here, move here, turn left, go right. And the things that we're contemplating and seeking and seem like we have no answer, God, you know, maybe we need to just focus on getting with Him, and then maybe the direction will come and all the things that we're seeking after. Right? Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. It's so simple, right? Kids can memorize it. And we need to take it to heart this morning. So let's meditate as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship this morning.
You are my strength. You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know, and all of You is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, You satisfy me with Your love, and all I have in You is more than enough. You're my sacrifice. You're my sacrifice. of greatest price, still more awesome than I know. You're the coming King, you are everything, still more awesome than I know, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than all of you. Is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. More than all I want, more than all I need, you are more than enough for me. More than all I know, more than all I can say, you are more than enough for me. More than all I want, more than all I need, you are more than enough for me. More than all I know, more than all I can say, you are more than enough, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. And all I have in you is more than enough. And all I have in you is more than enough.
Just as I was sitting there meditating, just the Lord wanted to encourage some of us this morning. And, you know, honestly, there are some things that we're never going to fix. Right? Like my inability to... you know, trek through the highways of Los Angeles, I always get lost. I mean, Jesus could come today and I'm still going to get lost. And there are certain things that we're dealing with personally. And, you know, yeah, you know, God's going to, you know, bring some increase. Yeah, God wants us to work on it. But we're never going to perfect it. You know, I have a temper issue. Yeah, God's going to give me the ability to overcome it. But it's always going to be there. You know, it's always going to be a battle for me, seriously. And you know, Jesus is going to reconcile that and restore that when I'm fully in His presence in heaven. But here's the word for today. God's grace is sufficient for you. Right? God's grace is sufficient for you. So, yeah, do your best. Yeah, you know, work on it. Let the Spirit move. But, you know, leave room for God's grace. Right? You know, God gave us, each of you here today, you know, we're in His presence. The one thing that we need in this lifetime and the 10 other things we're never going to get, hey, it's okay. Because we got the one thing and we're sitting here today. We've got God's grace. We've got the GPS system in us. We're heaven bound. Right? And so just an encouragement, you know, because I feel like maybe some of us are struggling and getting down because we're not able to, you know, God's grace is big enough, good enough, strong enough to cover us today. But at the same time, we seek and we strive. Amen? Let's go to our prayer focus for today. Let's pray for our mission focus, Mexico. Let's pray for Frank and Fabi. The team had just come back from their mission trip in Asia and Mexico this past week, so we're looking forward to seeing them. If you see them on the weekend, just, you know, welcome them, embrace them. To throw this in there, Godwin, he was in Korea over some ministry time, and his appendix burst. And usually, man, that's quite, it can be fatal because the toxin spread and you know, game over. You know, so usually it's very critical that when you start feeling the pain that you get the appendix out before it bursts. But it burst while he was in Korea, and so they flew him to Hong Kong, and he's here now in Tuen Mun, and he's not doing well. I'm actually going to go visit him around lunchtime if any of you guys are free, and just going to pray for him. But let's just pray for him that God would strategically, you know, through the best surgeons, doctors, you know, remove all the toxins, that, you know, that he would be made whole and healthy, that God would protect him, and just praise God that he got back, you know, in time. Let's also pray for Nagoya, Japan, Kenny. You know, we have a team that's forming this summer, and you know, the itinerary is pretty much set. Just pray, you know, I think as my conversations with him, you know, on and emails and whatnot, you know, God's working through him and everything is great, but he lacks fellowship probably more than anything, and he gets lonely and you know, struggles with that at times. So let's just pray that God would minister to him in this time, that God would surround him with the people that he's working with. Pray for Thailand, Rachel Warlick, pray for NK, the persecuted church there, and Chris Kim and Krahun, and you know, their network of, you know, 30, 60 missionaries that are doing all sorts of projects and, you know, microfinancing and things there to help and boost up the community. So let's just pray for these things this morning. Let's pray. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's cover the Noah's Ark Children's Ministry. We have an all-staff retreat this weekend, Friday to Saturday, and face-to-face is coming to minister to our teachers. And as you know, teaching kids might be one of the toughest things on a week-in, week-out basis. So let's just pray that God would really refresh them, that God would remind them, you know, of their call and their desire to serve him in this capacity. And just for a sweet time of fellowship as we pray together and worship together, let's pray for the SP youth and Pastor Nate and the teachers. Let's pray for campus ministry and Pastor Sophia as she continues to reach out to the college students. Let's just cover these ministries and the leaders. Let's pray for our Thursday house churches. Let's pray for Kennedy House Church, for Pacific Place House Church and Conduit, that God's presence would be preparing these meetings even now, that he would go before, and that the people would be coming into his presence, that they're not manipulating or calling down, but that God is already there
And that as the church members come together, right, they recognize the God's holy presence and come into worship and come into community and come into prayer and laying hands and just sharing and, you know, getting into the Word. So let's pray for our house church leaders that God would give them rest and peace, you know, even if they got very little sleep or were working all day, that supernaturally that God would make, you know, 4 hours of sleep feel like 10 hours of sleep. And despite, you know, whatever went on in work, that they would come with just a sense of joy and the presence of God. Let's just pray for our leaders in the house churches. Lastly, let's just pray for just the details and logistics for our moving into our next facility. You know, God willing, the Vine, everything comes together. We still need to negotiate prices and stuff. So let's just pray that God would give us favor and give our leaders favor and direction. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this morning, and I give you praise and worship, God, because you've called each one of us here. And no doubt, God, we were, you know, each of us before we made that decision, before we came to faith, God, we could have wandered, you know, every square foot of this earth, Lord, trying to fill ourselves with something that brought us peace or something that brought us joy or something that felt so close, you know, to what love is supposed to be. And Lord, you know, we could have vested our whole lifetime in it. But God, somewhere, someplace, sometime, you brought the Word to us, you know, through a man or a woman, a friend or a pastor or at a retreat or online even. And God, when those words hit our hearts, God, we knew we were done searching. God, we knew that we had found the purpose of our existence, God, which is to be with you, which is to be one with you. God, that's what you intended, Lord. That's why you created Adam and Eve, even, you know, before the, you know, heavens and the earth and the stars, Lord, you had us in mind that we would share in your nature, God, that we would share in your fellowship. And God, we want that even now, Lord God. We cling to it and we claim it even now, every day, God, you know, wave after wave from the things that try to deter us or to, you know, swipe away our allegiance to you, or just cloud our minds so that we easily or lackadaisically, you know, forget. God, nothing replaces this, Lord God. Nothing takes center stage more than this, our relationship with you. And so, God, we praise you for that, and we thank you for that, and we confess. God, we confess our sins. Lord, I confess my sins. God, if there have been things, Lord God, or objects or materials, Lord, that temporarily kind of, you know, inched its way closer to the center, or maybe even at points displaced you, you know, especially maybe in making a particular decision, Lord, it fully displaced you, Lord. And I confess, and we confess that to you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would rightfully take your place. God, every day, Lord, it's not a one-time thing, Lord. Every day we come before you here or at home, and every morning we say, Lord, you are the king of my life. Lord, you are the center of my life, and all my decisions and all the things that I want are centered around you, Lord. And your Spirit will direct us and lead us and guide us. So we proclaim that for us today. I don't know about tomorrow, God, but today, Lord, I make that claim for each of us, God, that we follow you and that every decision is based on you and that we seek your counsel in the Spirit. Lord, we thank you so much. Would you bless and direct every single person here in this room, Lord God, as we go out into the workplace, into relationships, into crosswalks, into restaurants, God, knowing, Lord, that your Spirit indeed, in fact, leads us every step of the way, God, because our heart desires to beat with yours, Lord. So would you lead us this day? We bless your name. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your time of prayer.